Awareness, the final frontier. These are the explorations of Jonathan Robinson and Brian Tom O'Connor. Their continuing mission, to discover fresh new paths to the mystery within, to seek out new joys and new methods of awakening, to boldly go into the heart of expanded consciousness. This is Awareness Explorers.
Well, welcome back, Awareness Explorers, for another episode where we journey into the heart of expanded consciousness. I like how that sounds. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm pretty good, Jonathan. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I really appreciate our last interview with Ajashanti. Kind of felt a high asking him a bunch of questions. But besides just a high, I realized in listening to it that he gave a lot of very precise methods that he doesn't often give, and I really appreciated and have used some of them that have really affected me this past week. How about you?
Yes, I was also on quite a high after our conversation with Ajah. I thought he was so open and generous and warm and insightful and shared a lot of wisdom, and I really enjoyed it. So I guess this is our Ajashanti episode follow-up recap episode or something of that nature.
Yeah. Well, more than just a recap, it's really an exploration of taking some of what he said and saying, how can we use that? And what's our experience of these things so that our listeners might be able to get something from this episode that really integrates into their daily life and affects it in ways that are able to lead to more peace or more awareness or more opening of their heart. Because for me, that's really where the rubber meets the road. You know, a lot of us know the ideas, but the question is, how do you really apply it and apply it in a life that's always so busy? So what I really appreciate about some of what Ajah said was some of his methods take less than 15 seconds to do. So I've actually been using them because I'm a lazy slob, and now if something can be done in 15 seconds that gets me to peace, well, that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, I agree. He talked about meditation as not necessarily something that you do that is apart from your daily life, but something that you actually experience throughout daily life, and that it is not necessarily something you do, it's actually something that you are.
Yeah, it's something that's already happening all the time if we put our attention on that. So it's not like we have to create meditation or create peace. It's the silence underlying all our thoughts, all our feelings, all the sounds we hear is always there. It's just that we're focusing on the noise rather than the silence.
That's right. He spoke about how all mental noise is happening within a quiet space. And he talked about, well, like, how does this quiet space appear inside you as you walk to your car, for example? That was one of the methods he talked about. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And what I really liked about his whole approach, which really touched me, he said something that just blew my mind, as he often does, which was, how does it feel to walk in awareness to your car? Or how does it feel if you speak from silence? So a lot of it was questions. And I remember at one point he said, the spiritual life is a life of constant discovery. It's not like a place you arrive and everything's the same, you know, that he's discovering new things. So I like that question. How does awareness walk to my car? Or how does silence speak in this conversation? And that you don't necessarily have some kind of intellectual answer. You're trying to find out. You're like a rat in a lab, and you're trying to figure out, how does this being called me walk to the car in awareness? And you look and you see what happens.
Yes, that's right. I use that actually quite often. I've mentioned this before, but I'm always walking down some long hallway somewhere in an office building or in an apartment building here in New York, and I use it as a reminder to imagine that this hallway is actually moving through awareness as I'm walking down it. And what does that feel like to be experiencing this in awareness? And one of the reasons that that works really well is because we're pretty much not able to do anything else as we're walking down a hall. We're just walking down a hall. There's not much interesting on the walls, and there's a tendency to just get into our minds at that point and start thinking about where we're going or where we're coming from. But we can approach it a different way. We can say, is the silence already here as we're walking down this hall or walking to our car or doing any activity in our daily life, asking that question? And that, I think that's what he meant by, how did you put it, a continuous inquiry?
That discovery. Spiritual life is a continuous discovery.
A continuous discovery, right. So that's an active thing. We're actually asking the question all day long, is this appearing in awareness? And not only that, what is this awareness? What is the nature of it? Is it free? Is it allowing? Is it infinite? Is it expansive? Is it spacious?
And those are the big questions. And there's also, he talked about smaller questions like, what would it be like if I was not so reactive here? What would it be like if I appreciate this moment more? What would it be like if I wasn't in resistance to this moment? And I like those types of questions because, you know, for some people and for me some of the time, it's hard to really let go into the big awareness. So sometimes a smaller step, such as, what would it be like if I listened to the silence for a moment? What would it be like if I feel my heart? These are things that I definitely can do, and they often lead to the bigger step of letting go of my normal ego narrative and enter into a deeper silence and awareness.
Right, and that ego narrative is what we tend to identify with all the time. And it's the protection of that ego narrative that actually causes the reactivity when things don't go the way we want them to. And his challenge to us is to see if we can actually allow things to be happening as they are without trying to protect that ego narrative, without going to it, without identifying with it, and asking the question, is that really who we are? And of course, this is so totally tricky because all day long, all through our lives, things are happening that are not going the way we want them to. And it can be very frustrating.
Your life is like that too, huh?
Yeah, I think all our lives are like that, including Ajahshanti's, which he acknowledged. He says, everybody, the more awake you are doesn't mean that you stop having pain or you stop having problems in your life. They don't actually go away. It's how you deal with them and whether you can actually see them from the silence or from the clear space of awareness that's actually already there even before the problems arose.
That is the trick. And one of the things he said about being awakened is it's basically letting go of the resistance to life as it is, and that it's our resistance that creates suffering.
That's right. He talked about pain and how nobody gets through life without pain or even loss and tragedy. And it is how we react to that or how we respond to it more accurately. And it is the resistance to it that actually causes the suffering. So you and he had a conversation about the difference between pain and suffering. And pain is what's going to happen to us in our lives through illness, through loss, through other kinds of tragedy. But suffering just as you said, is caused by the resistance, by the idea that somehow this shouldn't be happening, which of course is, for most of us, our default reaction to anything we don't like.
Yeah. You know, he said so many things that sometimes we have to unpack them, because if you take like one sentence and unpack it, it can really change your life. I remember one sentence he said was, the flip side of anger is that you care about something. So in the last week, I get annoyed a lot. I don't know about you. You know, certain organizations in life are hell-bent on making sure I get annoyed. Like my bank and my wireless provider are very good at this. Mm-hmm. You know, not giving me the information I want. And so I went from focusing on my anger and what wasn't getting done to, well, what do I care about? And this little flip of how you change your attention from, say, the noise to the silence, or the anger to what you care about, or to your reaction to something to what's noticing your reaction. These little flips really only take 2 seconds. And I'm very fond of 2 second techniques, you know, because they enter my life. Or flipping from what you're aware of to what's being aware. And then he said, you can even take a step farther to appreciating what's aware. And I've been playing with that, you know, giving it a little bit more extra space. Like I'm aware and wow. Appreciating that I'm alive, I'm aware, I'm fully here in this moment, hallelujah, and then, you know, back into the busyness. But that extra space or those extra little flips of attention can mean the difference between a day full of annoying moments and a day full of spaciousness.
Yeah, and I love that analogy of the two sides of the coin, or the flip analogy, because he even talked about that in terms of grief. For example, he said that when he had lost, he told a story about when he had lost his beloved dog, and there was a time when he actually felt joy at the exact same time as he felt grief. So in other words, looking at awareness and seeing the allowing joy behind awareness that's already present doesn't mean that you get rid of the grief. The two sides of the coin appear simultaneously. The pain and the joy of awareness can happen at exactly the same time. So the idea is that you don't have to get rid of what you're feeling. You don't have to protect yourselves from certain emotions. That's what he talked about. You actually open to them fully. And then the emotion converts itself. It shows the other side of it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure I used to have that experience ever. And about a year or two ago, they started to happen where I could feel pain and peace at the same time. Or I could feel anger and the peacefulness of awareness that was watching that anger at the same time. And I was like, wow, this is really an interesting state of consciousness. And I imagine that that's how fully awakened people experience something, because, you know, you are going to experience a certain amount of loss or physical pain. But if you have this other channel that's playing at the same time, it really does change your experience of it quite a lot. You're not so desperately then trying to get rid of it. It's like, oh, this is an interesting experience passing through. And it doesn't stay as long because there's a lack of resistance.
Yes. And this can also apply to thinking too, the same analogy, because a lot of spiritual practice seems to be focused on getting rid of thought and quieting the mind. And the mind doesn't seem to obey our command to be quiet. You know, the more we try and exert our effort to control it and quiet it, the more it is noisy and acts up. But
the mind has a mind of its own.
The mind has a mind of its own, exactly. It will do what it wants to do. But the flip coin analogy here is that you don't actually have to get rid of thoughts to be aware of the awareness that the thoughts appear in. They are both happening at the same time, the thoughts and the awareness of the thoughts. And the thoughts are what lead to reactive behavior and to suffering and to the idea that things shouldn't be the way they are. And the awareness in which the thoughts appear is characterized by that open, joyous, allowing feeling. And they can both occur at exactly the same time.
Yeah. When people start to experience that, it's really very revelatory. It was for me. And it changes your orientation to feeling from one of how can I get rid of this to how can I include this in the field of awareness. And I know in previous episodes you had a include method that I use often, because when I get stuck into negative feelings, what tends to happen is you exclude everything else. You know, it becomes your entire reality. And, you know, sometimes I'll say, okay, I feel sad or depressed or I feel angry, and I'm going to include that there's sounds in the room as well. I'm going to include that there's a sensation of my body in the chair. I'm going to include that I'm aware of all this. And it doesn't get rid of the feeling, but it certainly lessens it, and it helped me to tune into the underlying peace that was there before I became obsessively focused on this one little thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Me too. When I tend to get obsessively focused on one little thing and only pay attention to what my mind is thinking about it, then it becomes everything. It looms large. And then when I try and get rid of that thought, all it does is continue to focus on it. So it's actually not doing what I want it to do. It's just focusing on that one thing to the exclusion of everything else. But when we realize, just like in the flip coin analogy and even beyond, that so much more is happening, so much more is appearing in our experience, in our awareness right now, that, as you said, it can really soften that obsession with fixing the things that are going wrong right now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that what struck me about the listening to Ajahn is that because he's a, you know, famous spiritual teacher, I took almost everything he said and it had a lot of impact because I was bringing my full hunger to everything he said. And it reminded me of a story that happened many years ago that was hysterically funny. I used to be a teacher for a bunch of people, and like 30 people. And one of the things we would sometimes do is I would show a movie that was particularly meaningful and impactful to this group of people. And, you know, it'd be movies like Gandhi or Schindler's List or things like that, movies with a lot of substance. And then people would write about what impacted them because these movies had a lot to say. Well, one week I was going to be gone, but I wanted to show a movie. And so I gave the movie to one of the students and I said, please show it while I'm gone. And it ends up that the movie in the case was different than the movie I intended. I intended, you know, some beautiful movie, but the movie that was in there that he showed was Men in Black 2. Now, Men in Black was a decent movie, but Men in Black 2 is considered one of the worst movies of all time. It was, even the actors said that they thought it was terrible. So this was a really bad, stupid movie. And so my group of 30 students watched this movie thinking that I am presenting it as one of the true spiritual movies of all time. And then I had them write about it and tell me what they got out of it. And what was hysterical is that a lot of people said, that movie blew my mind. I was amazed when the aliens did this, or it really touched me. I was in tears when the spaceship landed on the marshmallow, or whatever it was. And I'm going, what? What spaceship? What aliens? You know? But, you know, people mentioned that they got so much out of it. And then I realized that was the wrong movie. And what struck me was that because they brought a sacred attitude and hunger to this movie, that they were able to get immensely deep stuff from the most stupid movie you can imagine. And when people listen to a spiritual teacher, that's part of what allows them to get a lot of stuff, is that they brought their best self to that teacher. You know, the teacher might say gobbledygook, but because they are hungry, they get good stuff. So I found myself doing that with almost like throwaway lines of Ajahshanti. And if people can do that with us, you know, we're not enlightened beings, but if they can do that with what we're saying, or with their mate or their child or the sign above the store that they pass by on the freeway, then you start to see that life becomes really, really interesting, because you're always discovering, you're always getting new stuff, you're always being inspired, rather than, you know, once a week when you go to church, or once a while when you hear this famous teacher.
Sure. Then it can be like when you walk down the street and you look at a store and you see a sign that says open 24 hours. And you're like, wow, that's profound. Maybe that's a message from the universe to me to stay open 24 hours.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how it can be. And in fact, in one of Ajah's books, The Way of Liberation, which is mostly about his methods, he talks about this method he calls contemplation, which is you just take a line. You know, for example, I do this sometimes. I'll take a certain phrase and I will just try to let it, like, drop it into the pond of my being until its waves ripple deeply inside myself. So it can be a phrase from a spiritual teacher. It can be a phrase that you like. One of the ones I used yesterday was, there's only now, or now is the most important moment in my life. And when you think about that, there is really no future. There is no past. Now is always the most important moment in your life. So listeners, now is the most important moment in your life. And you just try to sip that in like a fine wine and let it ripple through your being until you really meditate on it and it goes deeply within you. It's like planting a seed that takes hold and then grows into a tree.
Yeah, that's a nice one. I'm going to try that one in between.
You have any phrases
podcasts
that come to mind?
Any phrases that you can drop down?
Yeah.
Do I need to create more awareness, or is awareness already here?
Aha, I like that. I like that. Yeah. Because that shifts your orientation, and that's what these contemplations can do, is we're always kind of focused on outside and moving forward. And something like the phrase, allow everything to be as it is, shifts your orientation into now and within. And that's all that it takes. You don't need to meditate for an hour. All you need are these little mini shifts that Ajahshanti and other people have pointed us to. And that's where the magic happens.
Right. And even on this episode, he talked about that. He referred to it as a very underappreciated practice, which is the practice of acknowledgement, which is basically acknowledging that there is quiet even when the mind is busy. And it takes 15 seconds to appreciate awareness, the sense of it, he said. And that's a practice that you can do over and over throughout the day. Very similar to the dropping down that you were just describing. You just acknowledge what's here, what's noticing right now.
What I've noticed about that is that the first few times I do it, you know, it's a little bit disruptive. I might feel a little bit of the quiet, I might not. But if I do it enough throughout a day, it gets deeper and deeper. And soon it becomes profound. So even awareness, or our awareness of awareness, or our awareness of peace, has a momentum to them. Just like there's a momentum to our thoughts, or a momentum to negative feelings, there's a momentum to peace. And if you do brief moments of awareness throughout the day, by the end of the day, you're living in a different world.
Yeah. And another thing that I find when I try that is that, just as you mentioned, it grows and becomes more profound during the day. When I first try it, let's say on any given day, and I'm first trying to look at awareness, and I'm feeling that this is not really working. This is not causing the kind of feeling I want it to create. That's when I go, oh, of course. What I'm doing is I'm trying to create a feeling, which means that I have some idea that the feeling I'm having now is something that I don't want and that I want to change. And practically 100% of the time when I try a practice and it isn't working, it's because I'm either trying to create some feeling that I had in the past, or I'm trying to prevent a feeling that I don't want from happening. And as soon as I drop both of those things, boom, bang, I'm right there in the now, exactly as it is, allowing it and being flooded with the joy of the present moment.
That's such an important insight that took me 20 years to get, that that should just be on an endless loop in my head, because that's really, really powerful stuff. So I know you have a guided meditation for our listeners based on some of the things that Ajah said in our last episode. And I'm wondering if you could share.
Oh, yeah, I do. Sure. He actually talked about how we have a kind of an inner compass or an inner detector in our body, in our felt sense of the beingness in our body, that can actually detect when we're telling the truth or when we're being truthful. He wasn't talking about just lying or telling the truth. He was talking about when we are not living our own truth of our natural self, of who we really are. Maybe when we're trying to please people, or maybe when we're trying to prevent a situation from going the way we don't want it to go. So he called it the embodied truth teller. So I thought it would be really fun to play around with that as a meditation. So here it goes.
Sounds good.
So as I mentioned, this meditation is based on what Ajah Shanti calls the embodied truth teller. The idea is to create and develop an acute awareness of your body's sensations and the way they can help you notice when you're living your truth and when you're not. So just get comfortable, relax, close your eyes, and take a couple of slow, easy, deep breaths. Gradually turn your attention from the outside world to your inner world. Notice what's happening inside you, your thoughts, your feelings, your sensations. Now turn your attention from your thoughts and your emotions to your actual physical sensations, to the inner sense of your body. Feel your body from the inside. Notice any contractions or tensions you may be experiencing. Just notice them. No need to do anything about them, at least not now. and notice what parts of your body feel good. And notice what parts of your body feel not so good. Scan your body from the inside, from head to toe, and see if you can notice whatever sensations and experiences you're having, without labeling them with words in the mind. Just notice pure sensation. Now recall a time when you felt happy and alive and true to yourself. When you are not pretending, when you are not doing anything simply because you are supposed to, but instead you are living from your true nature. Notice what that feels like in your body. Memorize that feeling. Now bring to mind a time when you are not being true to yourself. Perhaps you are only doing what someone else wanted you to do and not what you wanted to do. Or you were not telling the truth about yourself or your feelings. Or you were tense or afraid or anxious. Notice how that feels in your body. Notice the sensations that arise. No need to do anything about them, just notice them. Now, take another deep breath, and again bring to mind a time when you were feeling completely yourself, without pretending to be anything or anybody other than your own true, natural self. Relaxed, aware, perceptive, allowing, true to yourself. Again, notice how that feels in your body. Notice the sensations without labeling them. Almost as if they were abstract images or feelings coursing through your body. Now stop trying to recall or remember or imagine anything. Just let be whatever is arising right now. And notice how your body feels. And give yourself the intention that after you finish listening to this meditation, you will practice simply noticing the feelings in your body. And you will withdraw your attention from your thoughts about them and redirect your attention to the simple, pure bodily sensations you are experiencing. And give yourself the intention that when you practice this enough, that this noticing of your body from the inside will be the key that will let you know when you are being true and honest and in alignment with your natural beingness. You can develop this sense, this embodied truth teller, until it becomes your guide to live a truthful, natural, open life. And now, at your own pace, when you're ready, simply open your eyes.
I like how that gives me a good sense of what I'm wanting to tune into when I speak, so that I know when I'm speaking from deeper truth or when I'm not being true to my being.
Yes, That sounds really good. And this one is really good for me. And I'm so glad Adyashanti talked about it, because throughout my life, I have not been as in touch with my body as might be good for me. I've often been lost in thought or conceptual ideas, or just simply tense and self-conscious about my body. So when you grow up being teased about your body, you tend to not give it the attention that you might, or at least not give it the loving attention. When you're used to focusing on your body and thinking of it as something bad or something that is open to criticism from others, then you don't look at it in a loving way. You look at it suspiciously. And this allows you to just simply notice what's happening in your body without the thoughts about it, without the opinions about it. And the more you do that, and it's something that I had to really play around with for a long time before I could even start to do. When you just notice the sensations in your body, just as pure sensations, you really are tuning into something that is open to the vibrations of the entire universe, and therefore to the wisdom that's available there.
Well said. You know, it is somewhat of a learned skill, and I want to inform our listeners that you and I have decided to start a new venture, not a new venture, but a new way of helping people, and that is we offer one-on-one coaching with people to help them to awaken and learn the skills of awakening to the peace and awareness that's always there. And if people are interested in that, they can go to our website and look under awareness coaching as to what that's about and how we do it. And if that's something that interests you, feel free to email us about it. And we would be honored and love to talk to you more about it, because I find that when you get that kind of attention and help, it can definitely accelerate one's path towards peace and awakening. And both you and I have had a lot of experience getting that help and also giving that help. So that's something that our listeners can learn about, and if interested, contact us.
Yes, sounds good. And I think it would be lovely to share the help that we've gotten from so many wise people like Adyashanti and other people we've had on our show and other people we've learned from and met and seen, and share that, pass it on to all our friends and listeners, etc.
So with that, feel free to share the podcast with your friends, family, Facebook, blah, 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 all the things that we normally say. But it is really easier to get into this stuff if you're sharing it with people and talking about it and making it part of your life. So I hope till next time, you will do that and you will keep exploring.
Keep exploring.
Thank you for listening to Awareness Explorers. To learn more, you can check out our website at awarenessexplorers.com. Please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app. And we'd love it if you would post a review. And please share our link on Facebook and with family and friends, because knowing yourself as awareness is the greatest gift you can give yourself or someone you love.